Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, everybody.
Does she walk? Does she talk?
Tobin and Leroy here with you. Robbie the Degenerate. Tomorrow, in just over an hour's time, we're about 24 hours and 25 minutes away from the Magnificent Seven making its return. Robbie, what did you go last week?
Last week was a 5-2. Oh, gotta love the XFL.
do you think you'll go back to that well? Are you spreading your wings, or we're just gonna have to find out?
Well, last year, remember when the AAF started? The under train was just unstoppable for like the first few weeks of the season.
Yes,
that's probably where I'm going to be going to until it doesn't work anymore, until it crashes. But oh yeah, you bet your ass, XFL baby, especially at All Star Weekend.
Yep,
and I may have a couple surprises your way too. You just never know.
We'll have that coming up for you. And again, 24 hours and 25 minutes. And coming up in about 25 minutes, we will hear from former 2006 Heat champion Antoine Walker. Who's doing some really good? He's doing really good analyst work for Fox Sports this week. He was on First Things First yesterday or 2 days ago, and had the take that he thinks that the place for Joel Embiid would be in Miami. Just explaining from his own experience as a guy who fluctuated in shape, he said that the Heat got him in the best shape of his career, and so he thought that if Joel Embiid is really going to be the player that he could be, Miami is the place where he thinks would work best for him. So we'll talk to him about that. And maybe some other things. You know, he was a teammate of Wade's. Wade's name is going to the rafters soon. So we'll hear from Antoine Walker coming up this hour. And Ira Winderman is going to join us in the final hour of today's program as he is, I guess, fresh off the road trip. Or maybe he's still in Utah. I'd feel so bad for him if he was still in Utah. But he's, he texted me a couple days ago. During, I guess it was Heat Warriors at the time. He goes, Thursday at 9:20? I'm like, yeah, baby, let's go.
Yeah, he could probably use the All-Star break too, like Goran and Bam.
Yeah, because Goran, he very bang. Everybody here, we all bang. Listen, we all here, we seat ourselves, and you know what they say, everybody here bang.
We all banged.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. I mean, if you're going to enjoy the All-Star break and you want to relax on vacation, Goran,
that's... We all banged.
If you really want to go out there and enjoy All-Star break, what you need to do is you need to have good time with Mrs. Goggy and you say...
We all banged.
It is Valentine's Day, though.
It is Valentine's Day. If Dragon wants to romanticize, he go out there, he say, Mrs. Goggy, listen, I give you flowers, I give you chocolates, and immediately that results in...
We all banged.
We go out there, and listen, the spark, you must keep spark same.
We all banged.
Oh, man, we're going to hell. Let's get to headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
That wasn't my intention when I cut that sound.
I wasn't either, but then when you realize you don't have the context of the rest of it, it is just...
He's straight to the point. Listen, you rather be banged than banged up.
We all banged.
Unless you are upside down and you have Googie sex swing.
We all banged.
I call this Dragon Style.
We all banged.
Oh, man.
One more time for Leroy.
We all banged.
What are you...
It wasn't my intention. It just came out.
You listen, I said what I said, Jax. I know this is family program, and you ask me question about All-Star break, but quite frankly, what I look forward to most is...
We all banged.
What do you got, Robbie?
Yeah, so they lost yesterday. I guess you could say that...
We all banged.
This is how I get over our loss. We bang.
We all banged.
You remember Ricky Martin saying, she bangs, she bangs. Gogi have his own song. We bang, we bang.
We all banged.
I love the bang shot, man. Some people,
we all banged.
Some people like the bang shot. I love bang shot.
We all banged.
Yeah, I lost 116 to 101.
You know,
1-4 on the West Coast trip.
Listen, they may have lost, but you know what happened? We banged right on Rudy Gobert's head. That dunk, that Bam dunk.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, he got in his feelings, huh? Rudy Gobert was like shouting at Bam. You know, people are like, I saw on ESPN, they put Bam and Rudy Gobert trade poster dunks. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. Rudy Gobert dunked after that, and he shouted at Bam because he got in his feelings. Because Bam dunked, he junk dunked right on his head.
I'd say one was a poster and the other was a post-it.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Point for you, Robbie.
You guys are,
Point for
Look at this guy. Do you see that?
No.
Tennis guy drinks maple syrup during the match.
Sugar rush?
I don't know, but look at these guys. That looks like a Jack bottle.
Might have to go on Dartboard of Doom.
Drinking maple syrup? I don't feel like it would be that bad.
What?
No, that guy doesn't look like he's having a good time.
Oh, yeah, he's hounding for the water.
What else you got, Robbie?
Yeah, so the big news out of Detroit that the Lions are in talks about trading Matthew Stafford, which would create a huge Tua conundrum down here, because then the Lions would probably take Tua at number 3 if they trade Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, I mean, but, once Sportrack broke down the contract numbers of it, it seems unlikely. I mean, that doesn't mean that – here's the thing, though. It doesn't mean that the Lions aren't going to take Tua. If they do have intention of moving off from Matt Stafford soon, why not get Tua in the fold?
Isn't that what Green Bay did with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers?
Isn't that what the Dolphins are going to do with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tua Tagovailoa?
No, dude, I'm telling you. Here's what happens, right? Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yep.
And you're going to have Tua there, and these words are going to come out of your mouth, and I'm going to chop you in the throat, right? Let's see what the kids got. That's what you do all the time.
But, I mean, I like seeing what the kids got.
Okay, but at what cost?
Well,
you said he's going to sit, he's going to sit. But does that ever happen? No, it doesn't. Let me help you out. So, you going to be the first guy, Tobin? You know you are.
Don't know that I'm going to be the first guy.
Yes, I do.
You don't know. What if Brian Flores starts him from the gate? Then Brian Flores is the first guy. And then are you going to call him out? I bet you won't.
If Brian Flores decides to start Tua right away, you would have already said it. I promise you. Because Ryan Fitzpatrick going to come in with a beer belly and birthday season and all those things. All right. Go ahead.
I will go ahead.
I'm just telling you. That's crazy. Crazy talk.
What do you got, Robbie?
So, Tobin, yesterday, remember we were talking about, you were pointing out how you thought the 10-day DL or IL was stupid. It needs to go back.
Yep.
Well, sure, the baseball must have been listening to the show, because as part of the rule changes that they officially announced yesterday, the 15-day IL is back. There's no longer a 10-day IL.
Talking about hot damn.
Also, the 3-batter minimum is in effect, and now all rosters have 26 players now instead of 25.
All right. I like it.
A 3-bat minimum.
Yeah, like you can't bring a pitcher to face 1 batter anymore. He has to face 3 batters now.
Oh, excellent. I like it.
So you can't have that lefty specialist anymore. He has to face righties.
Tony La Russa's nightmare.
Right.
The double switch.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it takes 25 minutes sometimes for the manager to come out and explain what the hell he's doing, right? He's got the card. Hey, I'm taking this guy and moving over here. We got a double switch here. He's going to go to second, and he's going to go, and he's batting third.
Oh, man. What else you got, Robbie?
And Eric Bieniemy, his name has been thrown out there for the Colorado head coach.
Nope.
His name's been bantied about.
Yeah, I mean, he did play at Colorado. He's a legend at Colorado.
Yes, he is. But, do you go to Colorado knowing how close you are to an NFL job?
Nah.
You got to work twice as long to get that.
You know what Colorado is? Colorado is Eric Bieniemy's job if he fails in the NFL.
Correct.
That's when you call up. That's when you go.
Or maybe
you say, "Hey, it's Eric Bieniemy. Hey, sorry it didn't work out with let's just say the Browns at this point, because you know who it's going to end up being."
Come on.
What?
We got Stefanski.
Stefanski? Who is that?
I don't know.
You know who should be the Colorado head coach?
I was going to say, you know who should be the Browns head coach? It's Greg Williams.
Oh, yeah.
That should have been him from the beginning.
He unfortunately has the unenviable task of having to work with Adam Gase.
Oh. Remember something, Leroy. Today is a new day to find out ways to skin a cat.
Well, Colorado, if, you know, just a reminder, if Eric Bieniemy does say no to the job, you do have a guy you can call.
You can come to Colorado. And for 3 or 4 years while you're
in Colorado,
you can compete for championships every year. Or you can go somewhere else and get your ass kicked by
Colorado
every year you play. And that's it.
what a peach you are.
Unbelievable. Just saying.
Unbelievable.
Other headlines.
Yep.
So, there's a Mexican star soccer player, Rodolfo Pizarro, has agreed to join Inter Miami.
All right. When do we get going with this Inter Miami, huh?
I think it's in March. It's around the corner.
I'm looking forward to it. We're going to go out to the pitch. We got to go out there drinking one day, boys. Do the old cheers.
Vuvuzelas?
Yeah, vuvuzelas.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Hang out with handsome Becks. We're going to have a good time.
Oh. I wonder if this guy's a descendant of Frank Pizarro, one of the OG conquistadors. Him and Cortez.
What else you got, man?
And so you look at the Miami Hurricanes basketball team. As the official member of the marketing team, I have to announce that they whooped up on Boston College yesterday.
They were stroking it?
They slump busted.
Nice.
85-58, big blowout.
It was 38-18 when I checked the game. And the only reason why I was watching the game
you were trying
is
to kill
because
time.
It was on the channel right next to the Heat game.
Yeah, it was a 653-1 on the DirecTV.
Which, why can't you pull that up? If you push it on the remote, you can't do it.
There's a dash on the DirecTV remote on the bottom.
Ooh.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's right next to the zero.
Look at him. It just blew your mind.
Blew my mind.
Didn't even know it.
You looking for some entertainment tonight?
I am, actually.
Because it's an all-star break. You know?
Yep. Well, we got Panthers tonight.
You got Panthers tonight, yes.
You got Panthers tonight. Bobrovsky back in net, I imagine.
And they're going to still try to do that, huh?
Yes. Yeah, they are, actually. Yes, they are. Yes.
See, that wouldn't happen in football. If you suck, it don't matter how much money you make. You can warm the bench till you get better.
No, well, it's not like I've ever seen first-round picks get chance after chance.
Devontae Parker.
Isn't Deion Jordan still floating out there?
Deion Jordan's Seattle, right?
He was in Seattle. But I think he got released.
Good. It's enough already. Anyway.
Well, and also tonight.
So what is the entertainment tonight?
Well, you know how the NBA and college basketball are doing like this crossover where they're having announcers, NBA announcers call college games and having college announcers call NBA games? Well, tonight, Colorado and Oregon, you have Bill Walton, who's normally on the call.
He's going to be wacky.
But you also have Mark Jackson along with Bill Walton in the same broadcast.
They're both going to be on the broadcast? Yes. And who has the unenviable task
this
of
guy,
having to be the play-by-play?
Dave Pasch.
Pasch is always the guy you bring in when you got real wackos on the broadcast because he'll just roll with the punches.
He's like the Ernie Johnson of that broadcast.
No. You'll have Bill Walton in there talking about Spirit Quest and teepees, and then you'll have Mark Jackson saying, "Hey, tell your body, not now. You can't disrespect the butterfly without the caterpillar."
I know what I'm watching.
What's that?
The Genesis Open. Invitational. Golf. Tiger.
And I'm pretty sure the new episode today of the Practical Jokers, I'm sure I know that's back.
Is it back?
Yeah, it's Thursdays.
I got to tell you, I was highly, highly entertained by those guys.
Like, usually the live shows aren't as good as the actual shows.
It was hilarious. I mean, I was falling on the ground laughing.
Just shenanigans left and right with it.
Oh, man.
Made you unbelievably happy.
Why is Leroy in the hallway?
Because he has his microphone pointed at his chest.
Dude, look. Look, my mic.
Tighten it up, bro.
Huh?
Tighten it up.
I'm trying. It sulks. It sags.
Get your mic up, bro. Here.
My mic is like those... Those balls that hang out the back of a truck. It just...
I thought you were going to talk about those old man cantaloupes that just hang at the LA Fitness locker room.
Dude. Miles Garrett's back.
Oh, yeah, he's back.
Yeah, good for him.
Like, I mean...
I didn't think he should have been suspended for that whole season.
Here's the problem. The only problem with it, I'm fine with the suspension, right? Yeah, you can't do that, okay? But you see, Pittsburgh, they blame their guy for putting him in that situation, okay? He could have very easily just stopped coming, right? Why did he think he needed to be Billy Badass and continue to rush?
Because he felt like his manhood was challenged, and so he wanted to fight the Hulk. Good for him.
Right.
Dumb
okay,
dumb.
But guess what? Man, you are going to win that fight.
You're not going to win that fight.
No, because I'm telling you. Dude's...
Didn't somebody sucker punch Miles Garrett?
That's what I'm saying. Like 2 weeks before that, he got sucker punched and he laughed.
He goes,
the guy got arrested, but.
He goes, oh, you.
Right. So imagine that. He didn't lose his stuff, right? When somebody walked up to his car and sucker punched him.
Mm-hmm.
But he lost his mind because the dumb quarterback wouldn't stop and let it go.
Yep. Makes sense. I'm glad he's back, though.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about the most important headline. This got lost because this happened before the Heat game yesterday. But Eric Spoelstra finally coming around and saying that he's having a hard time adjusting to the modern NBA three-point offenses.
This is what made you happy yesterday? Eric Spoelstra admitting what you've been seeing all along?
Yes.
I mean...
Hey, at least it's a start. At least first step is admitting you have a problem.
Yeah, but what are you going to do? Like
I showed you.
You're
going to play... Demonstration.
I know, but you play certain teams where teams pull up from 30,
he's not
35.
He's also not having that hard a time adjusting to the new NBA. Like, he wanted Wayne Ellington to take 23-pointers when he was on the team. He's telling Duncan Robinson to do the same thing.
He doesn't have a hard time on offense.
It giveth and taketh.
Guess what?
But he doesn't know how to stopping it.
And Dunks is obliging because I've seen him fade away threes.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Here's a quote. Barry Jackson put this out there. That Spoelstra said, this is before the game, by the way. Spoelstra said Heat working through what to try to take away from offenses in modern three-point crazed NBA, but defending the rim still most important in his view.
Huh. Somebody said, I bet you Chuck Norris, Mike, don't sag.
Ooh.
Yeah. He sags. He sags, sir. He sags.
Ooh, we got you.
And I know where that's from. That's Atlanta.
Speaking of a man who liked to shoot himself some threes, Antoine Walker.
Tippy toe three!
He joins us next. Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Very excited to talk to a Heat champion, Leroy.
Tippy toe three.
A sniper joining us. Antoine Walker, kind enough to join us on the guest line. Good morning, Antoine. Thanks for the time. Really appreciate it, man.
Man, thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate it.
Well, you've been representing hard this week. We've been really appreciate it because we have you on. We've had you on all morning because you're on in our studios doing First Things First to see you all over FS1. And so we saw the topic when you guys were talking Joel Embiid, and you mentioned that the place form would be right down here in Miami. So for our audience who maybe didn't catch it, could you expound a little bit on why all the things that have gone with Joel Embiid, him and Jimmy Butler, the social media back and forth, why you think this is this would be the place for him if he were to move on to a new place in his career?
Well, I just believe in, Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, the discipline the Heat organization has on players to be the best they could possibly be. I just really trust their impact on how good they can make players. Like I said yesterday, I felt like I was back in my life playing in Miami. They got the max out of me. And the seriousness in his approach to the game, I think, would change if he played for the Heat. I just think at Philly, he has a free reign. They've built their organization around him, and he hasn't taken it very serious. And that's why he struggled so much this year. I know he's been hurt a little bit, but I think that's why he's been so up and down.
What is that? What is it like, Antoine, when you do come to the Heat from somewhere else? Like, could you kind of give us a little bit of insight? Because we always hear about, you know, the psychotic nature, the body fat test. But, like, when you first come to the organization, what's that meeting like with Pat Riley or the trainers where they say this is the kind of shape we want to get you into to change your career?
Well, I think Pat does a good job. One is the respect factor. One being Pat Riley, and you have a lot of respect for him and his basketball knowledge and what he's done. And then, two, he breaks it down to you. He basically can go in there and be analytical and show you some, show you your stats and show you where you could be at if you was at this weight, if you was in the best optimal shape that you can be in. And you start to believe that. I mean, when you start to see your performance and you start to feel a lot better about yourself and your body, your performance gets a lot better. That's really what changes it. And it's not something that they just tell you. It's something they stay consistently on a week-to-week basis as far as body fat and weight. It's something that's a mainstay of theirs and the nature and approach to the game. Pat Riley wants to win. He wants to put a winning product on the floor. And I think that mindset sometimes is what you need when you're a young player to get that discipline in you. Because sometimes when you're making, especially the type of money that players are making right now, you need somebody to push you and put that discipline on you so you can get your maximum ability out.
Antoine, you know, one of the problems that I've always had with Philly is this idea of the process. And I've always said, if you are a franchise and you accept losing and you let your players think that losing is okay, you ain't gonna never be able to turn that around. And so when you see this team right now, it's almost like they don't have the mental toughness to fight through difficult situations because their organization has always taught them this is okay.
Yeah, I would agree with you to a certain degree. I think obviously in the beginning it was nice to see the process and see them, you know, obviously making strides to become a better team. But I think now these guys are all-stars now. These guys are making an all-star team. So you expect something different.
Right.
I mean, they were one shot away from getting to, I mean, obviously from moving on in the Eastern Conference to possibly getting to the finals. So they one shot away. You would think that their mentality would have changed. Now, they're a great home team. If you look at the season, I mean, they've been able to maintain because they're 25-2 at home, so they're a great home team. They haven't got it done on the road, but Embiid numbers have dropped, and it's a reason why his numbers have dropped. He's less aggressive. He's shooting more jump shots. He's not being the dominant force that he's capable of being. And I think, obviously, Philly has to take a little blame for that. I don't think it was a great free agency summer for them. I think letting J.J. Redick go and Jimmy Butler was huge. You talk about two guys who can make shots. You know, Jimmy Butler was a guy that probably won four or five games for them last year, and a late game shot.
Yeah.
So when you lose that type of production, the weight has to fall back. Those young guys got to understand the weight fall back to them. I love Ben Simmons, but I'm so frustrated in watching him and his development because I think he could be so good and dominate the game. But the lack of not wanting to shoot a jump shot really bothers me. I'm not sure if he needs to go seek help with that. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, to post videos that he posted this summer of him making jump shots and fadeaways, and then you get into the real season and you don't even look at the basket past 8 feet, it bothers me.
Right.
I mean, that's something wrong, and it's unfortunate. And the fact that the coaching staff has allowed that and not forced him to shoot some jump shots is really bad. It really bothers me. So those two may not be able to coexist. I mean, you may have to break them two up. And I just think for Joel Embiid in his career, if he wants to be that guy, I just think if it's one organization, the way they're built right now, especially with all the three-point shooting that he'd have on their team and the way they'll be able to space the floor, I mean, I think that would be the best situation for him. But it's still, he'll probably can fit in every team in the league, but I just think the Heat would have been the best fit for him.
That's what I'm talking about, Leroy.
Well, but it is. Think about this. They went downhill when they got rid of all that shooting. You know, so when they had J.J. Redick, he could. But I'm wondering if he's a little banged up, so he's scared to do all that banging inside. So he is being more of a perimeter big, and you know, I can't figure it out why he's not posting more guys up. And
well,
just,
I thought last night, I mean, it was a good game from him last night, I thought. But it was mainly around the basket. He did make a couple threes last night, but he got to the free throw line 13 times.
Right.
He was around the basket. I just see where he could dominate. He's a 30-15 guy. I mean, I know the league is not a big man league, but he is the best big man when he's healthy and he's on top of his game, mm-hmm. I mean, with his skill level, he can shoot the three, he can put it on the floor, he's got all the moves in the post, and he could be a great defensive player, too, when he wants to. So he's got, he could be a very dominant player. You know, we got an opportunity, you know, I played with Shaq, and we've seen Shaq, and Shaq was dominant. When you think about Shaquille O'Neal, the first thing you say, dominant.
Right.
He dominated the paint when big men were really a part of the game. And that's what now Embiid can do the same thing. He can dominate. He should be able to dominate inside and put up huge numbers. It's not about numbers. It's about having a dominant mentality and not giving guys night off. He lets his opponents off sometimes.
We're talking to 2006 Heat champion Antoine Walker, who's been doing some fantastic work on Fox Sports 1 this week. Antoine, you've done a bunch of SEC games, and there's been the yes. Kentucky connection has been revitalized down here in Miami with Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero. Have you gotten to make a Bam's development this year? He's taken a big leap, and I think he's even said that he's been surprised by the responsibility they put him on this year, but he seemed to really have flourished turning into an all-star season. So what have you made from your fellow Wildcats, Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero's seasons in Miami?
You never know, you know, because Kentucky has so many, well, since Cal's been there, he's produced so many pros, probably I think he's getting close to 40, but you never know how guys are going to be in the NBA because he's got, you know, four or five pros each year on the same team. But their development, I mean, you have to give the credit to the Heat staff. I mean, for Bam Adebayo, just, you know, the work that he's put in, skill development-wise, being able, you know, he's handling the basketball now, making plays. His athletic ability is second to none. I mean, so those things that you got to instill, and that's what everything into a player, you want him to get better and better every year, and I think that's one thing you got to give the Heat staff about a lot of credit for is working him and getting him better to be even – I don't even know if he's a center. He's an undersized center. Or is he a power forward? It's right. Hard to say what position he is with this team. And then Tyler Hero, you knew last year, covering the SEC last year, he had the swag. He made so many big shots. He made so many big shots for Kentucky last year during the season. You knew he had the swagger to be a good pro. Did not know he'll be this good of a pro right away, but he's going to be a terrific talent because he can play a little one and two, and he's got that it factor. I always call guys that, you know, play with a little ruggedness, with an edge to him. He has that it factor, so he's not afraid of the moment at all. So, but they did. They hit two home runs with those two Kentucky guys.
Yeah, Riley said it before the year too. He's like, enough of this Duke stuff. We're going Kentucky, and it really has seemed to work out for it. Before we get you out of here, Dwayne Wade, he's getting his jersey sent to the rafters next Friday. You guys shared a championship. Do you have a particular Wade story moment that stands out in your mind, or just him as a teammate? What was that like?
One was great. I mean, one obviously. His NBA finals was in 2006. I know he won two other rings, but he had one of the best NBA finals in NBA history in 2006. And being on that team and being a part of that and watching him perform at that level was second to none. And he's from Chicago. I'm biased. I love D-Wade. You know, so I have nothing but great things about him. He was a great teammate to me. We're probably not best friends, but we still are very friends. We're very respectful for each other. We do communicate via text message. So I'm excited about him going to Raptors and everything he's doing now. He deserves it. He deserves that. He did so much for Miami and in a place where, you know, where he made basketball relevant at a very high level. I mean, Tim Hardaway and Lonzo Mourning did a good job of starting it. And then obviously D-Wade and Shaq took it to another level and Bronny and all of them. So I'm excited for him. He deserves all that. He'll be a Hall of Famer one day. So he'll have this the retirement, the jersey going to Raptors next week. And then after that, we'll be watching this Hall of Fame speech as well. But just a tremendous player, terrific talent. Like I say, I'm a little biased because I'm from Chicago. We're both from there. So, you know, I pull for him a little harder and believe – you know, in my rankings, he's very high. And when it comes to two guards, you know, I put him in that category with the Michaels, the Kobe's. So I have him. I met him at a very high level.
You took a trip to Miami this year, like didn't you? Were you doing like a speech to the franchise,
yeah, so
the
I
young
work,
guys? What were you doing?
I work for the. I do the financial literacy for all 30 teams in the NBA. This is my first year doing it. where I get an opportunity to go back and share some of my trials and tribulations and make sure these guys try to do the right thing with their finances. But I did get a chance to go back to the Heat, and I hadn't been in the arena in a long time, and it was surreal, man, to be in there and to see the championship pedigree that they have and to see my picture and face all over the place and the respect they have for the 2006 championship team as well as the other championship teams. And it was great. It was a great meeting to have a young team, so hopefully I was able to help a lot of those young guys out. But it's always great because I hadn't been there in a while, and to go back and see all the people that are still there, are still around, have been there, you know, for the last 15, 20 years was great.
That's awesome, man. Hey, you've been kicking ass with the broadcasting, man, and that's an awesome thing you're doing, man, with the players. So,
man, thank you, man.
Congratulations.
I'm trying to get there one day, man.
You should. Yeah, you're doing a hell of a job, man. So thanks for spending some time with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Antoine.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy. Thanks again to Antoine Walker for joining us. He was great. I really enjoyed talking to him. And thought he was great on the Joel Embiid stuff, on Bam and Tyler Hero. And, of course, Dwayne Wade, whose jersey retirement's coming up next week. Wade's weekend, his jersey will go into the rafters. It's going to be a fun week, I think, for the Heat fan. You can text the show 67974. Texter writes in, "Hey, Tobin, my girlfriend is trying to get me a Miami Heat jersey for Valentine's Day. Which player do I get?" Very interesting question. Very interesting question. I'm going to assume that you have a blank slate. So you don't have anybody of the current ilk. You probably have a couple D-Wade jerseys. This is what I say. Put the D-Wade jerseys on rest for a little bit. Like, I go to all these sporting goods stores. You see D-Wade jerseys left and right. Like, I even saw the new blue Miami Vice jerseys, the Vice Wave jerseys. I see Wade jerseys all over, the Champs, Dick's, Sporting Goods, all these places. Hey, Wade jerseys glow. Can I get a Jimmy Butler? Can I get a Bam Adebayo? Can I get a Tyler Hero? I would say right now, we've done a jersey poll recently, and I remember Tyler Hero kind of ran away with it in a landslide. And I feel like when I'm in the arena right now, Tyler Hero, he is the most popular new jersey I see, more than Jimmy and more than Bam. I don't have facts to back that up. I haven't done any asking of questions to the marketing staff. I'm just doing eyeball tests. An eyeball test tells me I'm seeing a lot of 14s rolling around the American Airlines arena, which I get. He's Baby Goat. Now, here's the problem. This is what I would say with Baby Goat, okay? The problem with the Tyler Hero jersey is possibly going to be in a Joel Embiid trade. So therefore, you're risking it, you're going out, you're maybe getting the new cool jersey. I would say the hippest jersey going right now for the Miami Heat. Possibility he gets traded. Jimmy Butler jersey, obviously solid. He's been the turnaround piece. So throwing up an old 22, nothing wrong with that. But if I had my druthers, if I had my choice, pick of the litter, Leroy, I think I'd go with an old number 13. I think Bam Adebayo is the jersey to go with. He's your guy. He's an all-star.
More importantly, you know he's going to be here.
He's not going anywhere for a while. I think I'd go with the number 13. I'd go with a Bam Adebayo jersey. But I don't see a lot of 13 strolling around. I feel like Bam needs more jersey love, if I were to be honest with it. Because I feel like Tyler Hero got to skyrocket right up top of the line. Even dunks. I think we're getting to the point where people should start rocking some 55s. First of all, I think it's a cool number. I think 55 is a cool number.
The old double nickel.
You know, Jason Williams back in the day. I like 55 as a number. I think Dunk should get more jersey respect. I think Kendrick Nunn's doing pretty good for himself. I mean, obviously, no, you know, hard times for anybody who had gotten themselves a Winslow jersey. And I don't have to tell you to do that. You're gonna be able to get those discounted at Marshalls real soon.
If you're a gambling man, Jay Crowder.
Yeah, he's been playing. I think 99 is a cool jersey. I think 99 is a cool jersey number.
I'm sure no one's asking this, but. I'm pretty sure that Jay Crowder wears 99 because he knows he never has to fight for a number because nobody in the NBA ever wears number 99. So if he gets traded, he doesn't have to worry about that number not being available. It's going to be available.
That's true. Maybe. I mean, usually the high numbers. I mean, it's a football and a hockey thing. So you don't typically see numbers go that high. Like in baseball, what's the highest number? I remember Tim Spooniebarger was 91.
Oh yeah,
back in the day for the Fish.
I mean, spring training they'll be all over the place. There'll be some 74, some 82s.
If your name stretches all the way across the back of your jersey, you kind of need to have a 90 number, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Spoonie Barger?
Yeah, Tim Spoonie Barger.
Spoonie Barger needed to have a big number. He should put 100 on the back of his jersey.
It shouldn't be a 100 jersey.
Texter writes in, why does Tobin want a hero jersey? He's already trading him away. I feel like this person's bad at listening. I'm just telling you right now. He said he's the most popular jersey right now among Heat fans is number 14, is Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero gets the biggest pop in the arena. There's nobody right now who's getting louder cheers than Tyler Hero when he hits threes. That's the biggest cheer going right now in the arena. That's what it is. Another text writes in, Bam is a fake. That's why people aren't rocking his jersey. I don't know what that means. What is fake about Bam Adebayo? Tell me. Explain it to me. You're just one of these that you're just a miserable bastard who doesn't like guys who go out and play every single game, play it hard, pass the ball, play beautifully, modern big. Explain it to me. I don't know it. But anyway, getting to this guy's point, I would say if I were you, sir, for the season, I would go Bam. That would be my first choice because I think it is you got your guy. He is your draft pick. He's also going to be, I think, here for a while. According to Alonzo Mourning, he's going to go to the rafters one day. So that's kind of cool. If you're one of the first one to get in the ground floor of a Bam Adebayo jersey. Tyler Hero, I think, is also great. But I do think that you have to be guarded the fact that Tyler could be in an Orca trade. I don't want him to be. Everybody calm down. We're just talking like a couple of adults here, Leroy. You know what I'm saying? Everybody out here, they want to go and trade for Orcas, but they only want to use peanuts as bait. You know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous.
Gabe Vincent jersey?
You know, I went to it when I ordered Public Subs the other day. I went under the alias of Gabe Vincent.
Ha!
You always do that.
I do. And my favorite part is when they don't have something, they have to call me up and say, excuse me, Gabe. I'm like, huh? Yes. Yes, Publix. What is it? We're out of the spinach-flavored wrap. What would you like to go with? So I had to switch it up to tomato. You know?
We're going to get that one texter upset again. We're talking about the Publix. Well, at least it was you, not Leroy.
I go to Publix more than anybody.
Another texter in, why not a Jimmy Butler jersey? I think you should get a Jimmy Butler jersey. But if you're asking me if I had to choose among who I'd like to go, Bam's my guy, so I go with him. But I do like Jimmy Butler and what he's done. So go get a Jimmy Butler jersey. Knock your socks off, you know, man. I don't have to tell you.
It's cool enough that your wife is getting a jersey for Valentine's
Day. Yeah, it's cool enough.
Day,
she's like, a keeper. You know? That's a cool present. I mean, I don't remember the last time my wife would never get me anything sports because I already have enough sports stuff as it is. She hates it. I don't know like how many things I have that don't have a sports logo on it. So she'd be like, you know, no shot. No shot she'd get me a jersey.
How relieved are you guys that
your wife would never get you a jersey. My wife would never get me one.
Yeah, how relieved are you guys that Valentine's Day falls on NBA All-Star Weekend? There's no like controversy, no big Heat game. It's just the rookies and the Rising Stars game and Stephen A versus Michael Wilbon. That's all you're missing out.
Yeah, it's fine. Valentine's Day sucks going out anyway because you get treated like crap when you go out. It's like,
why?
People are just trying to rush you. It's like the same thing when you go.
Oh, they're trying
New
to get
Year's.
As many people in.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Well, just, I'm going tonight.
Yeah. Okay.
Because we all go.
Yeah. Because you got the triple header.
Oh,
yeah.
You beat the rush too. That was brilliant.
Yeah. I gave my daughter a card. She said she didn't want anything.
Somebody says Tobin should wear a jersey with no number in the last name, whoever, since he's always trading someone.
Yes.
Velcro jerseys. What if we get jerseys that you could Velcro out the nameplate?
Still got to buy the nameplate. It's the most expensive part.
Robbie, can you give me this? So this was Brian Windhorst. I've been seeing this a lot on the Heat blogs and Heat Reddit.
Are you serious?
What?
You've mentioned that guy's name more in the last 2 weeks because it fits what you want to say. That's the worst.
Some
You're
people
worst.
Turn over a new leaf.
You know what? A true team petty leader, no matter what Brian Windhorst was saying, mm-hmm. would never.
Well, I told you, though, I'm not team petty anymore. I've laid down my staff.
What about Peacock Pirate? Because neither would he.
I don't know what a Peacock Pirate is, man. You guys keep mentioning this thing. I don't know what it is.
Look into that glass, mm-hmm. and you see what's staring at you?
Some beautiful feathers.
Yep.
Brian Windhorst was on Hockman and Crowder's show, so be mad at them. Don't be mad at me. He was on their show. Yep. So what I keep seeing, it's going like this, Leroy. I go to like heatnation.com or I go to Heat Reddit, and it says something like this. Report, : star player will opt out or star player will demand trade to the Heat. I was like, oh, what's this? And so then I look, and it's...
So
it's,
they get you like that?
Well, yeah, because... But here's what it said. It said, okay, it's so it was somebody tweeting, I assume listening to the interview, and it says, Brian Windhorst says on 790 that a star player will ask for a trade to the Heat. But the way it reads, it's like, Windhorst knows currently there is a star player that's just waiting to reveal the news, trade me to the Heat. So then I wanted to go listen to the sound and see what it sounded like in regards to this tweet, because it made it sound like Windhorst is sitting on a secret orca that's ready in the offseason to demand a trade to the Heat. But when I listen to it, I'm kind of thinking like, oh, that's just his opinion. Here's Windhorst on Hockman and Crowder.
Pat executed it brilliantly for four decades, and then for some various reasons, he abandoned that in 2016 and all of a sudden started clearing contracts to, frankly, non-star players, and the Heat got jammed with having a whole bunch of money being paid to guys who were not stars. He decided, I remember when he gave the interview at the Family Fest last year, he basically said those days are over. He didn't say it in so many words, but it was clear. Those days are over. We're getting back into the star business. You have Jimmy Butler, and I think in the short-term future, whether it's this summer or into next season, there's going to be a star player out there who wants out, and they're going to see what the Heat have, and they're going to say, send me to Miami. That is something that the Heat have enjoyed for a long time that went away, that is back. And so I don't just look at this Heat team now and where they're going. I look at this Heat team as the team to make the next major move for a star player that adds to this core and becomes a championship contender again.
All right, so he's not saying that like he knows for a fact a star player is going to demand a trade, because that's what these blogs made it seem like. They're like, report. It's not a report. It's just Windhorst's opinion. He's going on Hockman and Crowder, and he's telling you, yeah, I think that in the near future, if somebody's going to demand a trade, it'll probably be to Miami, or someone in the near future is going to be like, oh, I like what Miami's going on. I'd like to be traded there. He's not saying, like, he doesn't know that Joel Embiid is in the shadows,
right,
waiting in the offseason,
right,
to say, oh.
So, basically, let me get this straight. He went around the world to get next door. So yeah,
100%.
Instead of saying nothing and just not saying anything, he said a whole lot of something that meant nothing.
You know, Pat, you know, remember the day where he gets back to the stars and all this stuff, and maybe one day somebody, a star, will demand a trade to the Heat. All right, thanks. I don't know. But I was misled, Leroy. You know what we call that in the industry? Clickbait.
You fall for it every day, because every day you come in here and say, ooh, look, guess what so-and-so said? Ooh. I'm like, that's terrible.
I don't, first of all, I don't sound like that. I don't appreciate you doing that. And second of all, I like to think of it as keeping my ear to the ground. You know, I like to know what's going on.
Does your nose get in the way?
Get your headlines next, bastard.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.